ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Global roaming. We did try to stay weekly. The news said no. So 5 days a week it is. I'm Hamish McDonald.
I'm Geraldine Doogue, and now joined by esteemed colleagues Latika Burke and Kylie Morris. Search for Global Roaming on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So amongst many nightmares of having young kids...
It's actually quite pleasant.
I suspect the worst one you've got is when you get a phone call from the kindy.
Can I say that I've got two kids at school now?
So you don't get the phone call to come and pick them up?
We must touch wood because it could happen as we are talking. But it is a parent's or caregiver's nightmare because it happens often. There are lots of viral infections floating around, and the chaos is who leaves work, what do you do, and how many days off are you going to need?
And are the kindies overreacting for the slight sniffle to take your child home? And of course, when the parents come and see you, the GP, they say, look, my child's had almost constant infections in the last year. And no doubt what you say is...
No doubt. Well, it's actually quite complex, Norman, because 6 to 12 viral infections a year is considered normal for preschool aged children. And what I say to parents is it feels like one big illness, but if you really nut out the history, it's often that they get one virus, they're just getting better, then they get another one, and it feels relentless, and it is.
But there's a but, and that's coming up on this week's Health Report.
I'm Priya Alexander on Wurundjeri Land.
And I'm Norman Swan on Gadigal Land.
Also on the show, the rising cost of paying for a non-GP specialist, a new report finds that some people are delaying or cancelling appointments, others are fundraising to cover their cancer treatment.
Having to stump up $5,000 before I can even get on the list, it's not until you think about it later that you think, gee whiz, I've paid for more than one BMW repayment for him.
And you'll hear more of people's personal stories, plus an analysis of the situation very shortly. Because what can be done to drive down costs? And does the answer lie in the private or public system, for example?
In the news, Norman, a lot of people will have seen Nipah virus mentioned, and perhaps people are panicking or pondering, is this the next pandemic?
And I gauge this by, you know, how many phone calls I get on the floor at Radio National. Should we be doing a story on this? Or should we be panicking about it and so on? So here's a bit of background. There were two cases reported in West Bengal. First one was a female nurse and the other one was a male nurse. So Nipah virus is of the same family of viruses as Hendra virus. Its natural habitat or its reservoir comes from animals or fruit bats, flying foxes. And the process seems to be, so people might remember the Hendra virus. You remember the Hendra virus story,
which
went from bats to horses to Vic Rail, the horse trainer who died. I mean, Nipah virus has a case fatality rate of at least 40%. Sometimes people would argue up to 75% in some outbreaks. The first outbreak was 1998 in Malaysian pig farmers, and it spread to Singapore.
And over 100 people died in that outbreak. In Malaysia.
Yeah. And often with the first outbreak, it can be much worse than subsequent outbreaks, partly because we've learned how to control it and look for it. But almost certainly what happened there was the bat spread it to the pigs and the pigs spread it to humans. And then there was some human-to-human transmission. And many people can just be a flu-like illness with a sore throat. But then it can become a serious pneumonia. And then it can become an encephalitis, which can be fatal. So it's a potentially nasty disease. There is what gets me about this is there's an animal vaccine for Hendra, but not for humans. And there's nothing for Nipah virus.
Nipah. Not yet, although I believe the University of Oxford is working on something, aren't they?
Well, the University of Oxford, which is where the AstraZeneca vaccine came from for COVID-19, are very good on these new and emerging viruses.
I think, Norman, when there's something new, particularly a virus, people get quite nervous. I've had some patients ask me what I think about what's happening in that. As I said, why hasn't it been on the health report yet? But the World Health Organization, or the WHO at the moment, have said the global risk is low. and there's no confirmed spread out of India. So it's really important to note the two cases you've mentioned, the nearly 200 contacts they've tested, it hasn't spread. The bats that tend to host the Nipah virus do actually exist in Australia and throughout Asia and the South Pacific. So at the moment, there's no evidence of Nipah virus in Australia or any human cases, but I guess the flying foxes are around.
And as we live closer and closer to the bush, other animals, as we go to intensive agriculture to feed the world, this is when the spread of these viruses, including coronaviruses and influenza, become much riskier.
Closer to home and in other news, in the state of Victoria, the state government has just announced that they're going to change the way that patients with an existing diagnosis and prescription for ADHD medications can actually attain repeat scripts. And
for you can just make a telephone call.
You can now access scripts if you need it in a situation where you can't see your regular prescriber, psychiatrist or GP. You can hop on to the virtual ED, which is essentially where you have a consult through telehealth, through a Zoom call with an ED clinician. And you can get a repeat script for your ADHD medication, and it might be up to 6 months' supply.
What's the panic over ADHD? I don't understand. It seems to be that everybody is really worried about it.
The reason I, as a GP, shudder at this announcement is I have a lot of patients, Norman, with the diagnosis of ADHD. It's been done by a psychiatrist who dispenses the prescribing rights to me. They write me a formal letter. They give me advice on all the testing that needs to be done prior, including things like an ECG, so looking at a tracing of the heart, a urine drug screen so we know what they say they're taking is what they're taking. We have to do blood pressure, a whole heap of bloods. And I have to apply for a permit to prescribe this medication. When I do that prescription, I actually don't often give a patient 6 months' supply. Particularly in the start, when we're trying to get the dose correct, people can have side effects, sleep issues, appetite suppression. They might have high blood pressure. They might have worsening of other mood disorders, suicidal ideation. So when the Victorian government says we are going to allow people to hop onto this virtual ED with a clinician they don't know who might give them a huge quantity of this medication, which can cause harm, that is frightening. And we've talked on the show last week about disconnect with telehealth services and the regular prescriber, the GP or psychiatrist, not being aware the patient has a huge quantity of the med. I think it could be really, really harmful.
We'll keep an eye on this, and we're not the only ones saying it. The College of General Practitioners, the College of Psychiatrists are saying this as well, and it's not just defending turf. It is, as you say, about safety.
It is.
On ABC Radio National, you're with the Health Report.